the fear of making the mistake, the fear of, let's say, losing the business or transferring the money to a hacker, that's one of the biggest things, right? But mistakes just happen and we can't prevent them. So if let's say you're accountable to the board, you have to acknowledge that. You have to really be open that you don't know it all. You have a strong team, you're doing everything you can to have the research done to make sure that all the tools and all the security is implemented according to the standards of the organization. But it's not necessarily that you know it all, right? And you have to just be transparent in how you communicate and how you tell that story, right, of what your department is doing so that it's relevant to the business and to the board to hear about it.
The bar for cyber resilience has been raised. Bouncing back isn't enough. Businesses must recover with certainty. Commvault Cloud Rewind finally gives IT and security leaders true peace of mind while freeing them to focus on AI's full potential. Welcome back to another episode of Data Protection Gumbo. I am your host, Demetrius. Super excited to be back today. And we are going to talk about executive presence, which is something that a lot of people are always curious about, whether or not they're born with executive presence, or is it something that you have to work hard for? Do you have the chiseled jawline, et cetera, all those different types of good looks, endowment type of situations here. But we're going to talk about also how CISOs can improve their communication just overall, right? Just within that role, because it's a pretty challenging role. And I am joined today by Loretta Aita, who is the CEO and founder at Loretta Today. So, Loretta, welcome to the Gumbo.
Thank you, Demetrius, for having me. Excited to have this conversation with you.
All right. Give the audience a little detail around what your mission is and what is Loretta Today.
Well, my mission is to help humanize the companies. As an umbrella, big mission. If I drill down a little bit deeper, is I help companies and their leaders to feel peace when it comes to communication and marketing, and help them understand what that in general means. A lot of people, when they hear communication and marketing, they have their own stereotypical thinking what that could mean in their head based on the exposure that they've had throughout their lives around these initiatives. So I help them sort of connect the dots between the communication, the storytelling, and how that impacts marketing tactics. So I provide them peace of mind that there's somebody who understands both of those worlds and helps them handle and elevate their company or themselves in the external world and internally inside the organization, for that matter.
Peace of mind. That's an awesome word, especially when you're talking about cybersecurity leaders, because peace of mind is probably something that they don't experience often, because their world is very volatile. Because if there's a cyber attack, then they are on the front lines in the war rooms trying to figure it all out, and they have to go into motion very quickly just around that whole situation. So peace of mind. So let's talk a little bit about how can, let's say, chief information security officers, how can they effectively tailor their communication, especially to align with, let's say, maybe the board or just executive leadership overall, and their focus on the business outcomes instead of the technical details?
Yes, when it comes to peace of mind, I'll continue to that thread to answer your question. Sure. The pain points that the board or stakeholders inside the organization experience is the fear that something may go wrong with the business, right? That there might be the attack, that there might be a hack, right? So if we want to remove the fear and provide that assurance that everything is up to par, all the technology is up to date, and there's teams that are managing and supervising everything, right? The board doesn't normally know what the backend workflow looks like. So it is important for security officers to actually communicate that. And communication is the foundation in everything that I do and how I help other organizations and leaders. Because a lot of times we assume that people who we talk to, they know the same information that we do, and it is not true, So in order to assure and bring that transparency, communication is key. So you have to speak the board's language by understanding what their fears are, what they're looking for when it comes to business assurance. You have to provide that assurance through their strategic communication and clear and transparent communication. What I've observed sometimes is leaders in high-level positions in larger organizations, they are afraid to actually speak the truth, because obviously it might affect certain business outcomes. But behind closed doors, I strongly believe if you're transparent, if you provide clarity of, let's say, risks and how you're going to be mitigating those risks, right, it just brings that trust into them and assurance that things are going to be handled. So communication at the core is very important.
You don't often hear that individuals in leadership roles that they're afraid to speak the truth, because, you know, someone that's not in a leadership position that's holding a C-level title, right? You think, oh, wow, I wish I could be like them, because they're not afraid to be who they are and they're speaking their truth. But there may be something as far as the one who's not sitting in those shoes, not really understanding what it takes to be in that position. And you have lots of conversations with individuals sitting in those seats, and I guess that's what you hear, right? So around being afraid or not speaking the truth, can you unpack that a little bit?
Yes. So in general, people are afraid to make mistakes, right? We always want to be perfect because we know that we are imperfect. That kind of ties to the perception about us that we made a mistake. That means we don't know something, right? But in order to grow and in order to actually do the right thing, sometimes you do have to make mistakes. And within the business landscape overall, within this context that we're talking about, sometimes those mistakes happen. There's so many hacks that we've experienced in the past couple of years, and the hackers are getting smarter and smarter. I don't know where my phone, for example, leaked, where my phone number or email leaked. Just in the past couple of weeks, I kept receiving spam emails, calls, and I'm not even picking them up. So they're getting smarter with AI. We've also heard scary stories, right? How they imitate your voice, how they do the research and they imitate your story. So the challenge that security officers have is actually keep up with all this technology and find the ways to outsmart those who are trying to extrapolate the information. Now, that fear is because of the unknown, right? So you don't know how to tackle those technologies, because hackers are always, seemingly they always up to par with tech, when the organizations seem to be like following and figuring out how do we deal with that tech and how do we prevent all of these emails that are extrapolating the information from the employees. The fear of making the mistake, the fear of, let's say, losing the business or transferring the money out to a hacker, that's one of the biggest things, right? But mistakes just happen and we can't prevent them. So if let's say you're accountable to the board, you have to acknowledge that. You have to really be open that you don't know it all. You have a strong team, you're doing everything you can to have the research done to make sure that all the tools and all the security is implemented according to the standards of the organization. But it's not necessarily that you know it all, right? And you have to just be transparent in how you communicate and how you tell that story, right, of what your department is doing so that it's relevant to the business and to the board to hear about it.
That's great advice there. And also just from that CISO perspective, right, I think that most individuals sitting in that seat, that they already have the relationships built, that they already know the board and they already know all their direct reports and even external, right, partners, suppliers, and they have all those relationships figured out. But this may sound like they don't have all of that figured out. Do you have any recommendations around just building those relationships, especially the ones that are maybe external, right? Or maybe external to the boardroom, building those relationships. Do you have any strategies or experience with giving those leaders advice on how to do that better?
Yeah, what I found throughout my career that people in very technical roles, they tend to be more comfortable behind the scenes versus in the forefront, right? So in order to build relationship, it requires to be a little bit more in the forefront. Have those conversations between official meetings, right? Meet up, give advice, share valuable industry information or knowledge base of what's relevant in your industry so that you, again, continue feeding the board or the stakeholders that are important for the business, that builds that trust and assurance that you know what you're doing. So in between is very important. You don't just leave the boardroom, close the door, and forget about it until the next quarter, right? You have to constantly keep the conversation going, because that ultimately what builds trust, and that ultimately what helps the board understand the complexity of things you have to deal with. Like I said before, nobody quite knows all the back-end things that go into play to make the work look effortless, right? There's a lot of teams working behind the scenes to ensure that there's firewalls in place, so to ensure that nobody is getting through those firewalls. So the more the stakeholders understand of your process, of the people involved, the more comfortable they will feel that things are under control. And most likely, the more forgiving they will be if, let's say, they see that you've done everything, but there were still some things out of your control. And some bad things might have happened, right?
So sometimes I think that they're not human. I know it sounds crazy, right? It's like, okay, how did this person get to this role? Because I've changed and I've modified my career. I have a 20 plus year career, and I've modified and changed. Okay, I want to be CIO one day, or I want to be CISO one day, or I want to be in. I've changed that now because I've been around a little bit, and now it's okay. I don't think that I'm going to be able to attain that particular level, but I'm really happy with where I am. And so I have to come to grips with kind of that situation. But I've made mistakes as well, because we all make mistakes. But do you have any advice or recommendations just overall for communicating clearly? If mistakes are made, making sure the communication is clear. And then maybe even if there's any kind of ways that you can avoid some of those mistakes in the future.
Yeah. Maybe before I answer that question, I actually am curious to hear why you decided to pull back a little bit. Because you said something very interesting, and I'm now curious to understand your story a little bit
better. Yeah. So, and plus, and maybe it's just me and my personality, right? Because I will aspire to something because I noticed that, okay, wow, it would be really cool to be here. And then I start doing research on it. So I'll pick a few people, let's say 3 or 4 LinkedIn profiles of individuals with that title. And then I'll see their education, right? Oh, I need a master's degree. Do I really want to go back to school? And do I want to spend the money on a master's degree? Do I want to spend the time? Do I have the time? And then it's okay, they have these certifications. And then it's like, oh, wow, this certification costs $1,500. Do I have time to study that? And so I really get a little deeper into what it took that person and what the credentials and criteria is for someone sitting in those seats. And then I pull back a little bit to say, you know what? I think I'm okay. So that's really more, mine is more of a technical research. Where I really decide, okay, it's the education. Do I want to do that? Do I have the money? Do I have the time? Am I really at that point in my life where I can really dedicate that time?
Yeah. So you were being honest with yourself, right? And sometimes that's all it takes, because often leaders are being put in the position because they're good at those technical skills, but they're not really, they don't really quite have either good presence or good communication, or even team leadership skills sometimes, right? And then it becomes a struggle. Ineffective leadership comes into play at that point because they just don't know how to lead. They could be very good at technical, but not at leading. So it's very, it's actually admirable that you're very honest with yourself and you're comfortable where you're at. So to answer your question in terms of how to effectively communicate, it's again, going back to them being very technical, a lot of technical leaders tend to assume that this is the showcase of their technical knowledge to the people who are not as technical, right? It's almost as if it proves that they know something, but it's not the case. You have to really dumb it down. You have to visualize information. You have to remove all the jargon, technical jargon, because not everybody, you know, understands all the acronyms in your world. And let's say a lot of boards and in general, a lot of stakeholders are sometimes international from other countries. So English is not necessarily the first language. So you have to keep that in mind. I always encounter that problem all the time. I see the acronym, I don't know what it means. Then when it's spelled out, I'm like, oh, okay, That's obvious. But until it's spelled out, it's not obvious. Technical people in technical roles have to really understand that in order for them to be able to communicate the value that they bring to their organization, they have to improve their communication skills first. And they have to understand the importance of the visualizing the story, the charts, removing the complexity of details and simplifying that story and message so that at a snapshot, when let's say if there's a presentation in the board or on stage for that matter, it's a people in the audience, they can look at the slide and it's a visual cue to the story that's being told in person. So that's very important. Being clear and also providing insights in what actions you're going to be taking based on that information that you're sharing is one of other things I could advise to do.
You said something as well. You said that there's a technical component and then there's also a leadership component.
Yes.
Knowing what I know now today, those are they're divergent, but they're two separate things and they're symbiotic, right? You have to have both. How do you choose, or can you gain those leadership skills? Let's say you're in a product manager role or you're in an engineering role and you're like a system administrator. You're a lower level. You don't have direct reports, but you do want to be. You want to aspire to be a C-level, right? I know it's a hard balance. What is that balance around gaining the leadership skills? Can you gain those skills, or do you have to go to school, business school, or do you just watch 1,000 YouTube videos and get up at 3 a.m. in the morning and do it that way?
None of us are born leaders. Some just have stronger way of expressing the leadership skills than the others. And you can easily see those types of people in the room. They're always the first ones to provide some sort of input or some sort of solution, right? And they're not afraid of taking on the responsibility, even though they don't know what they're doing. They're just taking it in because it's in them, right? But a lot of times in the middle management role, I think that's a missed opportunity. People, when they get unhappy, when they become unhappy in their roles because they have not been provided the opportunity to grow within their roles, they tend to leave the company and find that advanced opportunity somewhere else, which is a huge loss to the company because all the knowledge leaves with that person, right? And they go off a bit to the competitor where they can implement that knowledge on their side. And I think, and again, I haven't been in a corporate world in a long time, but those times that I've been inside the organization, I've observed that majority of the focus has always been in training the leaders to be better leaders when they're already in the leadership position versus training and coaching those who have potential, but they're not there yet to keep them going, to keep them believing in that mission and vision of the company that they're working for with the potential to grow into that higher tier role. So I think it's a gap. Or at least I've experienced. Again, I don't know. A lot of organizations have different cultures, have different ways of implementing those learning and development programs inside them. So I can't speak for all of them. But for the most part, it's when you became a leader. Okay, now let's do your PR coaching, media coaching. Let's do your leadership coaching. Let's do your culture coaching. Let's make you now an effective leader once you've become one. But not when you're thinking about being one. You're like this in this neglected world, right? So I believe that you can be trained to be an effective leader as long as you're open to it, as long as you're not afraid to it. Again, there's all these technical aspects that you just mentioned, you know yourself, why you are not pursuing those types of positions, right? Because you're just more comfortable within the environment you're at. Mm-hmm. And that's also fine. You just have to recognize where you want to be. And the moment when you're ahead, this is where I want to be, you just have to be open to be coachable. If let's say the organization does not provide you that coaching, there's a lot of different leadership coaches out there that people can hire. I, for example, specialize in presence coaching specifically, on camera and stage presence. How to be a more effective communicator using different two completely distinct types of mediums, right? On stage and on camera. There's leadership coaches, certified leadership coaches who teach how do you become and be a more effective leader. If you run a team inside the current organization as a middle level manager, for example, or even as a sole contributor, you contribute to certain things and you want to grow into that management role. There's coaches who can help with that. How do you grow into that role? And yes, there's always podcasts and books and other things that people can absorb and learn from. But if you want hand holding, you know, those avenues are open if they're not funded by the organization.
So one final question for you. Something happened after COVID and we started hearing about a lot of layoffs, right? And it hasn't stopped. So I think every week now I'm seeing 5% here, 10% there, 15%, all different types of companies, large, small, tech industry, mostly the tech industry, I would say. Some of these skills, so wanting to move into leadership and wanting to cross the chasm, right? That's like a marketing book that I read before around that gap. You mentioned a gap in the skill set around being a leader and someone who puts themselves out there and speaks up at the meeting and kind of have that leadership ability about them where they're not afraid to take that risk with what they say. Do you see companies nowadays really investing in someone? Because I don't know if I see it or not. I think we're in a new area now, and especially with this new administration that's in. They're really busy over here in the U.S. I won't say the name, but it's a different ball game overall just within the tech industry. And there's a fear whether or not you're going to keep your job in general, right? So we're talking about learning new skills and getting promoted and moving into leadership. But where do you see all of this now with kind of the geopolitical landscape and everything that's going on right now?
I can't speak to the geopolitical landscape at large, but what I can say is this. I think people have to recognize, especially those who work in larger organizations, that we all are our own IP. We build our knowledge. We build that database of information in our heads through the experiences that we bring, through conversations that we have, through problems that we solve. And we should not rely on the organization to paint that path for you. You have to be owning what you know and become more forthcoming and brave to express that. And I think a lot of times, unfortunately, when you do express that, you're being perceived too aggressive, or, oh no, you just stay in your own lane. We don't need these too outspoken people. But I think over time it will change because, again, back to your point of what COVID has brought in, people started seeing the world completely differently. And people started seeing through the discrepancies that are happening, hypocrisy sometimes and what the leadership team says on stage and what the actions show have become more obvious. So people are not dumb. But what I'm trying to say is we have to own our knowledge and we have to sell it. We are the best salespeople of ourselves and we have to become that and remember that. And to build your authority online is one of the most important things you should do. Because even if you go from one company to another company, the first thing that new hiring manager is going to go to is going to be your LinkedIn. So how do you represent yourself there? What kind of conversations are you driving on there are going to be very important in how you are being perceived and how you position yourself in the industry.
That was awesome. Build your authority online. I really love that. That sounds like a masterclass that you should work on, Loretta. How can Gumbo listeners learn more information about yourself and Loretta today?
Yeah, so you can go and visit my website, loretta.today. Loretta is spelled with one T. I have a presence checklist that one can download and take an assessment to see how their leader or their company presence looks like. It's based on the cumulative amount of points you collect given the answers that you're giving. And then reach out to me if you need any help. You can call, have a free consultation, 30-minute consultation. Can have a conversation and see if there's any opportunity for me to be of service to your audience.
And what's that website?
Loretta.today. And I'm also on LinkedIn. So if you Google my name, if you look me up on my name, just reference this podcast and I'll accept the invitation.
Okay. Yeah, great information. And I might have to check that checklist out myself.
Yeah, please do. It's quite fun. It's elaborate. It's very dense. It takes a little bit of time to go through it, but it's very valuable to those who really want to understand where they stand in the presence world.
Well, I appreciate you taking time out and sharing your insight, being open to having this conversation and just sharing. We don't get a lot of sharing these days because I see people really closing down, right? People used to open up and now they're not opening up as much, but I appreciate you sharing your insight as well. And before I let you go, I want to let everybody know that check us out on YouTube. We're there at dataprotectiongumbo.com. And we also have a group with 26,000 backup and recovery professionals in it. That is the title of the group. So just go on LinkedIn and type backup and recovery professionals, and you can join in on some of the similar conversations like the ones that we're having here today. So Loretta, thank you so much for being a guest, and we might have to get you back again in the future.
Thank you so much, Demetrius, for this platform. I appreciate that.